Invisibility in plain sight was her finest skill, forged over a lifetime as the third spare in the royal line. She stopped at a vendor selling hunks of glittering stone affixed to cheap metal chains. "From the famed mountain palace of the Southern Isles!" The vendor was shouting in Nyish to whoever would listen. A fake accent, Will knew, just like the stones. Nyish was the language of Erod, but because Northern Erod was the trading hub of the world, it was adopted by nomads and ports around the world. The woman was well-dressed, in a crisp red tunic and matching trousers that belled at the ankles, ruffled with pristine black lace. Something like the outfits displayed in the storefronts here, which meant it was purchased here. Probably an indication that she would pack up her wares and phony accent and be gone by the time next week's import ships departed. Will had seen it dozens of times before. A young boy and girl sat at her feet, peering at passers-by under the slats in the cart. The children were equally pristine and dressed in a matching green dress and vest set, respectively. They caught Will's eyes, and their casual interest in the crowd took on a new purpose. The vendor glanced at her too.
"Fancy a necklace for those lovely collarbones of yours?" she asked.
"I'm looking for something shinier," Will said, cautious. The children were still watching her. She extended her index finger and gave three quick taps to the strap of her bag. An innocent enough gesture, unless her suspicions were correct. The girl crawled out from under the cart.
"Were you looking for sterling chains instead?"
she asked. Her accent sounded Eastern. Will raised her chin in a nod. The underground vendors loved to send the girls to hook their customers. Young orphan girls with ribbons in their hair, or elegant young women with soft faces and sweet smiles, all to mask the sinister depths of their trade. The boy moved as though he wanted to stand. The vendor cast the boy a look, though, and it rooted him. The vendor likely wasn't any relation to them, just a lackey, but the boy was clearly the girl's brother. It wasn't merely their resemblance, Will noticed, but the way the boy looked at the girl. Like letting her go off alone was the same as casting a gem into the sea. Owen looked at her that way. For her part, the little girl was unafraid. She gave Will a smile that didn't reach her steely eyes.
"My father makes the finest jewelry you'll find anywhere in the world," she said. "Follow me."
The girl walked with purpose, her twin braids gleaming in the hot August sun. She moved expertly through the crowd without touching any of the passers-by, Will at her heels. Erod was an ancient kingdom, and many of its buildings were hundreds of years old, outfitted for electricity but otherwise untouched. Beyond the bustle at the docks, where shadows of tall stone buildings stamped out the sun in their alleyways, it was like stepping into a cartographer's old map. Blanched bone, white by sun. The windows dark and blank, no indication that time had changed a single stroke of ink. Here was where the wealth of Northern Erod receded into disrepair. 20 years earlier, a storm had flooded the port capital, and its outskirts had never recovered. Towering stone buildings with dark oak trim were left to the elements. Will thought they were beautiful, and the tragedy of their abandon made them even more so. But she knew better than to mention renovations to her father. A king had no time to deal with the poor, she'd heard him say many times. Not with territories to conquer and leaders to reason with, not with the reins of the world in his fists. A laundry line hung between two windows, pinioned by tiny tattered dresses. The little girl led Will down the alleyway under the laundry line, and they came to a stop at a metal door. The dagger at Will's thigh felt more present at the sight of it. Metal doors. She hated those. They were much harder to escape if things got ugly. And in the forgotten outskirts of the port capital, things did tend to get ugly.